Hear the word of the Lord from Mark 14, 12 through 26. On the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare the Passover so that you may eat it?" So he sent two of his disciples and told them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Wherever he enters, tell the owner of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us." So the disciples went out and entered the city and found it just as he had told them. They prepared the Passover. When evening came, he arrived with the 12. While they were reclining and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to distress and say to him one by one, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, the one who is dipping bread in the bowl with me. For the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for him if he had not been born." As they were eating, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, wow, I'm kind of like high up here. And, oh, goodness gracious. Well, I guess I might come down when I'm preaching. That's okay, right? Okay, good. My name is Charlie Wolf. I am from the Charleston area. We live in the Charleston area. And one day the pastor called me and said, "I need an executive pastor. Do you want to be the executive pastor?" I said, "Yes." So I'm here today. No, that's not how it happened. That's not how it happened. Kind of, sort of. All right. But I'm glad to be. I'm excited to be a part of Reconcile. My wife and I will be moving, Lord willing, before Memorial Day weekend. So after that, I'm here, you know. And Pastor, I can see Pastor saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." So I want to let you know this, that when I am preaching, sometimes, that's a lie. Every time, I get loud. When I get loud, I am not yelling at you. I just am naturally loud. God bless me with that voice. I remember when I started teaching, there was one day when some of the kids came to me and said, "Mr. Wolf, we heard you all the way from the other end of the building." And I said, "Good, because some of y'all are heathen and you need to hear Jesus." And then I became an assistant pastor of another church, and the next Sunday after I preached, some of them said, we were in aisle two in the grocery store and we heard you preaching at church. So anyway, all that to say, I can get loud. And sometimes the people on the key, on the board will have to be pushing things. So anyway, just get ready. Okay, just get ready. Maybe today it won't happen. That's a lie. But I love preaching God's word, and I thank God for the opportunity to be able to speak God's word to you. I take God's word seriously, and because I do understand one thing, that those of us who preach God's word will be judged the most. So we need to be serious with God's word. So with that said, let's look to God in prayer. Father, it is our desire that we see you this morning. Be glorified, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Mark 14. It is exciting to know that Jesus died on the cross for me, you know, and that way before time, he saw me and said, he's going to be mine. Not because of anything that I've done, but for his glory and his glory alone. And as Jesus walked this earth, he had a plan. And one of the things he did was get his disciples to train them to continue his work after he had gone. And on this particular night, a lot of things happened. Not just what we read in Mark, but a lot of things happened. You remember the foot washing that happened on that night, okay? And Jesus' teaching in John chapter 14, telling them that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He talked to them about the Holy Spirit coming, teaching them on this night. But as we look in Mark chapter 14, verse 12 says that on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb. You see, Jesus, about 6 days before, had walked into or ridden into Jerusalem to present himself as the Passover lamb. Because it was that same day that they would take the lamb and bring it into their home and make it their own. Because when God spoke, he said, take the lamb. Take a lamb. The next one he says, the lamb. And then he finishes with, your lamb. You see, so they had to get to know the lamb. The lamb was supposed to be personal for them, and so that when they sacrifice the lamb, they will feel something, that this lamb that we love is being sacrificed. We won't see this lamb again, but it stands in place of somebody. Because that's what happened on the first night of the Passover, where the lamb stood in place of the firstborn. And so Jesus rides into Jerusalem 6 days before this and proclaims himself as the Passover lamb. You remember the song, "This is the day that the Lord has made"? That is exactly the day that that song refers to. Because the Lord has made this day to present to us our Passover lamb. Because Paul said that Christ is our Passover lamb. The lamb that was crucified so that you and I will not suffer the wrath of God anymore. And so on this day, when you read the book of Luke, the Bible says Jesus calls Peter and John to go prepare the Passover. And then they ask him, where are we going to prepare the Passover? Where should we prepare the Passover for you? Because it was the Lord's Passover. You see, in my mind, this is telling me that whatever we do is about Jesus. Whatever we do is about Jesus. The way I love my wife, the way I love my children, is about Jesus. The way I serve in the church is about Jesus. It's not about me. Where should we go to prepare the Passover for you? What should I do today for you, Lord? Because my life is not my own. Because I need to live in glory. By the way, I will be done before dinner tonight. So they ask Jesus this question, and Jesus tells them where they should go. You see, as I study the scriptures, at this point in time, everybody is ready to kill Jesus. But Jesus says that he had desired to have this Passover with his disciples. And so way beforehand, Jesus had already prepared. And so Jesus knew. Now, you know that Judas was a part of Jesus' disciples. But on this night, Jesus is being very particular about where he's going to serve because he knew that they were looking for him to kill him. But he also had a mission to accomplish because on this night, there was a lot that he had to teach his disciples. Because on this night that Jesus is getting ready to die, the disciples are fighting about who is the greatest. When their master is getting ready to die. But you think Jesus knew this was going to happen? Oh, absolutely. And so Jesus had pre-planned this day, where he was going to meet, who was going to betray him, what he was going to teach the disciples, all of that. And so he sends the disciples to go into the city, verse 13, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. By the way, this is talking about the preparation for the last Passover in verses 12 to 16. And go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Wherever he enters, tell the owner of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there. You see, Jesus said, a man carrying a jar will meet you. When God sends you, when God gives you a mission, He will give you an unmistakable sign that I sent you. This is what was happening here. Because you see, during that time, it was women who carried water with a pitcher. It was women who did that. But in this case, Jesus said, a man carrying a pitcher. You see, he was using an unmistakable sign to let the disciples know that I have sent you and you will find what I tell you exactly. Just be obedient. The Bible says that when they went and entered the city, they found it just as he had told them. God never lies. We can depend on God. He will never lie. The Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. And so we can trust him. When I first came for the interview and I came and I was told that this church was given to reconcile without a cent being paid, I turned and said to Pastor and Christine, if this is not a sign that God called you to do this here, then I don't know what else is. When God calls you, as impossible that it seems to be, God will assure you, give you the assurance that I called you. And I am not lying. I don't lie. It is impossible for me to lie. So trust me. And here we see the pre-planning. I think that, at least when I was studying, God was speaking to my heart that it is important for us also to learn to pre-plan. It's okay to pre-plan, so long as those plans are in line with what God has called you to do. Just like he did. This is similar to when he was going to ride into Jerusalem and send the disciples to go, and they will see a donkey. When you ask, tell them the master needs it. Similar to that. He knew what he was doing, already planned it. There was nothing that was going to prevent God from doing his will. Nothing, no man, nobody can prevent God from doing his will. Nobody. God's will be done with or without me. This man, who the Bible says owned his home, Jesus said, ask him where my guest room is. You see, yes, he owned his home, but ultimately, Jesus owned the home. This man, at some point in his life, had identified with Jesus. It is said that he knew the risk of identifying with Jesus, especially on this day, at this time of night, because they were looking for Jesus. What do I learn from this? No matter the risk of what Jesus has told me to do, I need to do it. I need to find joy in identifying with Jesus, no matter what. He has spoken, I need to do it. He has spoken, I need to be obedient. Is there room in your house for Jesus today? Is there room in your life for Jesus today. This room was a special room, a large room. Seems to me, as I was studying that, this man seemed to be, may have been a wealthy man. But he gave his home to Jesus because the master needed it. Is your house ready for the master to come in? Is your heart ready? We can trust that whatever Jesus says will happen, will happen. The announcement at the last Passover. Jesus, verses 17 to 21, when evening came, he arrived with the 12. While they were reclining and eating, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed, to say to him one by one, "Surely not I." He said to them, "Is it one of the 12, the one who is dipping bread in the bowl with me?" "It is one of the 12, the one who is dipping bread in the bowl with me. For the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him if he had not been born." Now, so they are at this celebration. They are with their master, and they're reclining at the table. It is kind of a cozy atmosphere, if you will, a family atmosphere, and they're eating. How many of you like food? Oh, my goodness. How many of you like being invited to dinner? Oh, my word. It's supposed to be fun, right? Supposed to be fun, you know? But on this night, as they're reclining, you know, an intimate atmosphere, Jesus says, "One of you is going to betray me." What in the world is he talking about? Who is it? It's not I. You see, here's the deal. Three times, Jesus gives Judas the opportunity to confess and come clean three times. You see, I don't understand it all, but there's what we call the sovereignty of God. One preacher said, there are two big things that we need to learn. One is the salvation of man. The next thing is the sovereignty of God. I don't understand all the ramifications of the sovereignty of God. But this had been planned that somebody, Judas, was going to betray Jesus. But yet, Judas was responsible for his actions. There was no way Judas was going to blame God. He could if he wanted to, but he was also responsible. And so, on this night, three times, when Jesus announced, and they asked, and he was saying, and then he said, the one who dips his hand in this blood, in this bowl with me, in John, it says that Jesus took it and gave it to Judas. You see, the way they were arranged is my understanding that when you were close to the master, it was a place of honor. And you see, Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him, yet Judas has a place of honor with Christ. Did Christ wash Judas's feet? Everybody go like this. Yes, he did. Judas was there. You see, so all of this, Jesus was giving Judas a chance to repent. And throughout the scriptures, we see that. Remember the first question in the Bible that God asked? Adam, where are you? It's not that God didn't know where Adam was. Adam, where are you in your relationship with me? He was giving Adam a chance to confess. And since the book of Genesis, we have always been blaming the other person. We don't take ownership. He went to Cain. Where is your brother? You see, God has always been giving us chances to confess him, to confess our sin, and to confess him as Lord. And maybe you are sitting here today and you are guilty, you're feeling guilty about something that you did. And perhaps God is asking you, where are you? What have you done? And you need to come clean. He gave Judas opportunities to repent. Judas didn't. And the Bible in the book of John said, Judas left after Jesus gave him the bread. He left to go do what he was supposed to do, because the Bible says that Satan had already entered his heart. You see, you can be amongst the people of God for years and not confess Jesus as Lord. Just because you've been in the church ever since you were born, don't mean you are going to go to heaven. Because Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. Oh, but I went to reconcile. I gave to the donation box. I gave offering. I was on the worship team, Lord, for crying out loud. Sorry, I never knew you. Time to come clean. Did Judas walk hand in hand with Jesus? Every single day, he was with Jesus. He heard the same things all the other disciples heard. He did the same things. He ate with Jesus for 3 years. He saw. And yet, have an opportunity to come clean. Nope. I'm going to do what I want. See, we see the foreknowledge of God, God knowing everything. Because Judas didn't have to tell Jesus, this is what I'm going to do. Jesus knew it already. You see, nothing takes God by surprise. Nothing. How many of you remember 9/11? Did it take God by surprise? Where was God? Right where he was, on the throne. right where he was on the throne. But you see, God will have his way. We cannot stop God from doing what God wants to do. The sovereignty of God does not absolve the responsibility of man. Remember Pharaoh? Pharaoh in the Bible? God said, "For this reason, I have created you so that I will show my purpose through you." But was Pharaoh responsible for his actions? Yes. Did God give him opportunity to repent? Yes, at least 10 times. And even after what happened to his son, he still went after God's people. We can't blame God, can we? We cannot. We cannot. God will have his own way. God will have his own way. And ladies and gentlemen, might I say to you that in life, we may sometimes experience betrayal. How many of you have had that before? Betrayal? Yeah. It's unfortunate, is it? Isn't it? It's unfortunate. But that it happened to Jesus. Who am I? And it happens to be the ones closest to us that we never expected that this would happen to. And you see, God is so good, isn't he? That even in our wickedness, in our stubbornness, He still gives us the chance to say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me." And so we find out that there is the preparation for the last Passover. And then at the Passover, Jesus makes an announcement. But then finally he does something at the Passover for the first time. You see, in this lesson, Jesus is moving from the old covenant to the new covenant. Jesus, though the Passover is a picture of what Jesus would come to do, now he is the real thing. He is showing what he really came to do. And what was it? To die for our sins. And the Bible says in verses 22 to 26, as they were eating, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." I want you to look at something. If you would, look at, did I give you John chapter 6, verse 53 to 58? If not, I will read it. So Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, because my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I live, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me." Jesus' body was broken for us. And just as the lamb was roasted on the fire, fire referring to judgment, Jesus was judged because of my sin. He was put on the cross because of my sin. And so when Jesus said, take my body, Jesus is saying that I am the true Passover lamb. Come to me. Accept me for who I am. I am God. I am the one who ransoms your soul, who saves you from your sin. So come to me. And so he broke the bread and gave it to them. And then after that, the Bible says that they all, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it, and he said, this is my blood of the covenant. You see, I said Jesus was bringing them into the new covenant. And so his blood, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, what? There is no forgiveness of sin. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away the sin. That is why every year they had to do it over again. Over again. But Jesus died once and for all. Hallelujah. And by his blood, today, I can rightfully stand before God and cry, Abba, Father, and the Bible says he pays attention to me. Glory be to God. Because of that blood that was shed on the cross. And that blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never, never, never lose its power. Because it reaches the highest mountain and flows to the lowest valley. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away because of that blood. And so, when I take communion, I am not only remembering the death of Jesus, but I can think of who I used to be and what I am now. The Bible says, formerly you were, but now you are. Why? Because of that blood that was shed on Calvary. And so, because of that blood, I can walk with my chest up high and say, I am a son of the King of Kings. No matter what happens, oh, he surrounds me. His hand is upon me. And where he sends me, I will go. No matter what happens, I'm going to follow. Because he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. There was nothing I did to deserve Jesus' death on the cross. Nothing. All I deserve is die and go to hell because of who I am. And the Bible says my heart is wicked. A wicked heart, but for the grace of God, There go I. God is good. God is good. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that the blood, Jesus said his blood was poured out for many. I hope that everyone here has experienced that blood that was shed on you. That blood that is able to set us free. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And we see that in the book of Genesis, don't we? When Adam and Eve sinned, and the Bible says God made clothes of skin and dressed them. What happened? Blood had to be shed. We can surmise that it was a lamb. Because from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation, it's all about Jesus and what was going to happen. And so, this morning, let me read one last scripture. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29. So then, whoever eats the bread and or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. You see, these Corinthians had gathered and they came to church ready to party without regard of God. And Jesus and Paul said, because of that, some of you are dead. Because you are taking the Holy Communion without regard of God. Remember, when he did this, Judas had left. And so it was only the people of God who took that first communion. And so if my heart is not right with God, and I come and partake of God's communion, the Bible says I am bringing judgment on myself. You know that sometimes when we are coming to church, there is a fight at home before we come to church. Have you resolved that fight? If you haven't, and you come to communion, to come take communion, you are bringing judgment on yourself. My heart has to be right with God. If you are not a child of God, be very careful in taking communion. Because there is a meaning behind it. Because when I celebrate communion, I am understanding that I was a wicked person, deserving hell. But the Lord God, my daughter would say, one of my children would say, the Lord God above. The Lord God above looked in time and saw me, and because of me, came to suffer. So that Paul says, I would live worthy of the gospel of Christ. And so this morning, I would ask you to consider, what kind of life am I living?
Is my life worthy of God? Is my life pleasing to God? Three things I'll leave with you today. We can always trust what Jesus says is the truth, because whatever he says is going to come to pass. There is nothing we do or that is going on in our lives that Jesus does not know about. We can't hide anything from him. We just can't. Because he knows all, he sees all, and he's everywhere. Finally, whenever we celebrate communion together, we should always remember what he accomplished for us on the cross. He experienced God's wrath on our behalf, so we would live worthy for him. I don't think I want to experience God's wrath. Because you see, I tell people all the time when I preach, every single person that has ever lived and will live forever. The question is, never. Is it going to be with Jesus, worshiping him forever? Or is it going to be in hell that he was prepared for the devil and his angels? Where are you going to live forever? Because I'm looking forward to heaven. You know why? Because the Bible says everything is going to pass away. There's not going to be any more praying in heaven. There's not going to be any more preaching in heaven. You know what's going to happen in heaven? Worship. That is why me, I love to worship. The other day, I'm going to end with this story. The other day, we were at school, and they were doing worship. And oh, there were lots of people just standing there, and some not singing, and some. You know what I was doing? I was lifting up my hands, and I was moving, and just praising God. And I sent the video to Pastor and Mr. Tom. And I said, y'all still want me? Because this is me. This is what I do. What do you tell me? Something about being a goober. They accept goobers here. I said, oh, well. Then I guess I will be happy. And so I just get excited when it comes to worship. And so I am looking forward to the next set of worship. I hope you are going to worship, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's praise God. God bless you.